Hey, welcome to the first episode of 2017 of the Infamous Podcast. What you are hearing right now is new music picked by our good friend
Johnny.
And it is from bensounds.com, and the song is called Moose.
Makes sense. I would pick a large animal with antlers.
You absolutely would. Anyway, yeah, we're just trying to update some things on the show, some quick housekeeping notes. Did you know, Johnny, that we have a Patreon page?
You've just told me that.
I have told you that. We never really mentioned at the beginning of the show, so no. I'm going to try and do that a little more. So we want to keep this thing ad-free, so we need people's help. So the four of you who are listening, more than that. But
save the podcast! Save the rebellion! Save the dream!
Anyway, you can find the Patreon page at patreon.com/infamouspodcast. Super easy, right?
Is the link on the Infamous
Podcast page?
And the link
is on the Infamous Podcast page. It says Patreon.
There we go.
Anyway, all right. So with that out of the way, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
It is officially 5 days into the new year as we're recording to this, but...
And no one's died.
Is that true?
I don't think any celebrities died yet.
No wrestlers?
Charlie Manson's in the hospital.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I thought, oh, if somebody's going to be the first one to go, let it be a serial killer.
That would be funny. Cincinnati boy. Well, okay. I don't think he's from Cincinnati, but he lived here for a while.
He passed through here, yeah.
Anyway, so this week, this episode's episode 77.
Mm-hmm.
It's called What's Streaming Now?
Mm-hmm.
Because you gave me two excellent, excellent things to watch this week. And then we are going to talk about one of our new TV obsessions.
Yeah.
That is the... what's current is streaming at the moment, and then the new season of that starts up in April.
Right.
So, you know, we were just really excited about this and everything. But before we get to that, Star Wars Rebels,
mm-hmm.
season 3.5 trailer came out.
Mid-season trailers.
Yesterday? A couple days ago.
Who's so smart to put out a mid-season trailer?
Who cuts these Star Wars Rebels trailers?
Somebody who should be cutting all trailers.
They are amazing. I mean, last year when it cut through and it was Vader versus Ahsoka and all the and Maul and, you know, all that stuff. And then this time out.
Yeah.
Kenobi.
When Ezra's running across the beach on Scarif.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
Well, I thought it was awesome when he meets up with Jyn Erso and they start making out.
It's
like, whoa, Sabine.
Yeah.
She's pissed. But no, this was awesome. You know,
they do very good with their trailers because you always get the one that's the first part of the season.
Yeah.
And it's like you see stuff that you're going, oh, is that gonna happen in the next part of the season?
Yeah.
And then they show that trailer and you're like, I was right.
Yeah. So we get Saw Gerrera.
Yeah.
So if you guys watch Rebels, which we know you have, because it keeps winning at the box office. It passed 800. Oh, that's
Rogue
what
one.
I said. Yeah. That's what I meant. It passed $800 million worldwide. Mm-hmm. So they didn't expect that.
The Disney juggernaut.
The Star Wars juggernaut. Well. Anyway. So we get Saw Gerrera.
Yeah.
We get Sabine with the Darksaber.
Mm-hmm.
We get Mandalore.
Mm-hmm.
Not just Mandalorians. Mandalore.
They're going back to Mandalore.
Which will be awesome. It looks like lightsaber battles galore.
Yeah.
You have her wielding the Darksaber, learning how to use it.
At one
There's
point,
a clip of her
Ezra's
with Ezra's lightsaber fighting a Mandalorian with the Darksaber.
Yep.
Like, I'm so excited to find out what that's all about.
Wow.
We're
finally going to find out who she really is.
And who her mom is.
Yeah.
So, her mama. And then we get Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
And
which means we'll get Luke Skywalker too.
I think we'll see a young Luke like we did Leia.
At Toshi Station picking up some power converters.
But I wanted to go to Toshi Station.
No, well you don't watch it. You don't watch it live. You watch it. You stream,
no, I watch it live.
So you see the commercial breaks.
No. I watch it on the Disney XD app.
So
live.
We DVR it.
Yeah.
And the commercial breaks, they do lines from the original Star Wars movies. But it's Freddie Prinze and the kid who plays Ezra doing the lines. So one of them's I forget the kid's name who plays Ezra. But he actually does I was going to Toshi Station. And it's like, you sound very much like him.
But I wanted to go to Toshi Station.
Yeah, it's like I forget what one of the other ones is like. Impressive. Most impressive.
Nice. All I can think of is when he does that now is in South Park. South Park has ruined so much for us in such a great way. Is when Cartman,
yeah,
when his mom's asking, she wants him to go outside, and he goes, "I don't want to go in play with my little friends." No kidding.
Anyway. Yeah, that's the one I remember. Yeah.
Anyway, but
these are my cheesy poops.
Remember cheesy poops?
Oh my god.
Anywho.
Did you just go meta on?
Totally. Anyway.
South Park meta.
I cannot wait for this to come back. Okay, so
do
we're
you think
recording Maul's this. Maul's
going to be dead by the end of the season?
I do.
Yeah.
I absolutely do.
Wow.
Think he's going to be dead by the middle of the season.
You think the middle or the end? You think that'll be the end battle?
Or
do you think that because they did that with
Ahsoka and Vader? So David and I were conversing about this.
Yeah.
I think we will get to that sooner than later.
Okay.
I think the Mandalorian stuff.
You think that'll be the end?
Is the end.
Okay.
Because I think. There
Do you
are,
think that any of the main cast might die?
I think Zeb is going to die.
You think Zeb's going to die?
Absolutely. And I said that last season.
Yeah.
But I do think of any of the characters, I think Zeb's death, from a story-wise,
yeah,
affects the show the least amount. But from like a heart-wise, affects every single character.
So you don't think one of the Jedi will die? I think Kanan's on the chopping block.
I don't think Kanan dies this season.
I think Kanan dies this season, and it's either the push for Ezra to go really bad and become your boy Snoke.
So, okay, so I have he's Snoke.
Yeah,
but not yet.
Right.
So he's also Ray's dad or Ray's yeah Ray's dad. Dad. Or no.
Wouldn't
sorry,
that be
sorry.
Awesome if he was yeah. Ray's mom?
Yeah. No. So Sabine is Ray's mom.
Okay.
Ezra is Ray's dad. Okay. And then Ezra becomes Snoke.
Okay.
And then Obi-Wan is Ray or is Sabine's either dad or grandpa.
Now I'm confused.
So
I need a diagram.
Yeah. Anyway. Now
the fan theory is that Ray is related to Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yes, because she's
not
the British
his daughter
accent
or anything.
Yeah.
So that,
but if it's his granddaughter.
Right.
Where Sabine is his daughter.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Where she would be Satine's.
Mm-hmm. Satine's granddaughter.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Or well, Rey is Satine's daughter.
Yeah.
Either that or it's whoever Katie Sackhoff voiced.
Katie Sackhoff voiced Satine's sister.
Right. So maybe that's who the mom is.
Yeah.
Who Satine's mom is. But I think that's kind of obvious. So.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I figured that's what it was anyway.
This show doesn't always.
She's Prey Vizsla's daughter.
Right. So
I mean,
that's
she
why,
looks like Prey.
Yeah.
But she doesn't have the blonde hair that Prey had.
No. Well, but, we
I
don't
mean,
know.
I mean, facial features, they've made her look similar to what Prey looked like, but she's got the darker skin that was more what. What was her. What was. Katie Sackhoff's character, but Obi-Wan's girlfriend.
Satine. You just said it.
Yeah, Satine. I'm Sabine Satine, you know, it's they had darker skin.
Did
those
they?
Two
okay.
had like a bit darker skin, but they still were paler.
Yeah.
But Vizsla was pale.
Yeah.
But she looks like Vizsla. Yeah. And so, when she picked up the black saber, I'm like,
that was
you're
so
Prey's
awesome.
Daughter, aren't
yeah.
you?
Yeah. The mid-season finale was so good.
Yeah.
So
at least it's coming back pretty fast.
Well, yeah, it's not like it's Cartoon Network where it goes on like a 14-month hiatus.
Right,
and then they bring it back for one episode, and then it's like 8 more weeks before there's another one.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Oh, Nickelodeon does that, doesn't it?
Yeah, they do it too.
I haven't watched a Ninja Turtles episode in, I think, like 2 years.
Oh,
because,
wow. Yeah.
I mean, well, first off, I don't think they put them on Hulu anymore.
Oh, okay.
And then, second off, I never know when they're on.
Yeah.
So...
Just
all right.
I DVR them and then watch like 8 or 9 at a time. That's the way to do it. I mean, you know, story wise, some of their shows are meant to be watched as like longer.
Yeah,
that's why they release
like
them as four part
yeah.
DVDs and that.
All right. So, what is it? January 7th. Rebels.
This Saturday.
This, well, yeah. So, January 7th, Rebels season 5, part 2 starts back up.
Right.
Disney XD, tune in. If you don't have cable, get someone who has cable to give you their login information.
Yeah.
And you can download the app to any device or watch it on your computer and watch it. And they actually do show it in real time. Yeah. So you don't have to wait like a day to watch
it. Oh, that's cool.
Anyway. All right. So now on to the main crux of the show, if you will.
Yeah.
There's a ton of great stuff streaming right now.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
at all times,
Man in the High Castle started, the OA we talked about a little bit. Like, you can go back and you can watch things like, you know, you liked Stranger Things better than I did. But, you know, it's definitely worth watching.
I mean, there's always good stuff to
Voltron
stream.
Legendary Defender comes back with season two next week. Yep. There's Troll Hunters from Guillermo del Toro.
Okay.
With Anton Yelchin as one of the voices.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I watched the pilot. That was really good, actually. I'm going to show it to the kid later. But we have two movies and a TV series. And both movies... Well, the second movie I had added to my watch list, and I wasn't 100% sure I was going to get to it.
That was Midnight Special.
Midnight Special. Yeah. But the first one is called Spectral.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's how Spectral. You pronounce that. Spectral. Yeah. And it is it's streaming on Netflix, and
it's included as a next Netflix.
It's
original.
A Netflix original. Now, the interesting thing, it's directed by Nick Matheu. I think that's how you say his last name.
Mm-hmm.
And it stars James Badgedale from 24 and Lord of the Flies,
Iron Man,
yeah. And Max Martini from The Unit and
Pacific Rim.
Yep. and you know, a whole bunch of stuff. John Wick. I think he was in John Wick.
It might have been. Emily Mortimer.
It's got Emily Mortimer from Newsroom. It's got Bruce Greenwood.
Mm-hmm.
It has Steven Root.
From everything.
Yeah, no kidding. So when I was looking at this, I'm like, man, this movie has like a pedigree to it. Mm-hmm. Oh, and it's got the guy that plays Riggs on the current
He was
Lethal
one where
Weapon
I'm like,
show.
Who is that guy?
Clayton something. Not Collins, but...
or something, but I'm like...
Anyway, or maybe
he was one
Clayton
where
Collins.
There was a couple people that are faces in this where you're like, man, I recognize that because one of the first of the group that we see that dies was the guy who was holding Oliver on the island that was the magician guy in Arrow. Yeah.
So, what was his name? Clayton Crawford.
Clayton Crawford. Yeah.
And anyway. So I tuned into this and you know I didn't really know what to expect.
The preview leads you a different way than this movie.
I didn't watch the preview.
Okay,
just took your word for it.
On Netflix, the previews are just starting to stream now.
Right. so one interesting thing about this is it came out on December 9th on Netflix. So it hasn't been out a month.
I didn't even see it on there until like the other day.
This was a movie that was put together by Universal. It was actually supposed to be due out in theaters in August of 2016, and then it got pulled from the schedule pretty early on last year. It was in development since like 2014.
Yeah.
And then all of the
and we're
work,
not going to spoil this one.
No. All of the creature work and special effects and things like that was done by Peter Jackson's company, Weta Works.
Right.
So when I say this movie has a pedigree. Like, it looks fantastic.
Yeah, it looks really good.
It was acted really well. I thought the script was really good. And it just looks so good. And even the sound. Like, you know, and I'm not a big, like, sound guy.
Right.
Like, mostly, like, I think the sound Oscar is bullshit.
Right.
But, well, I say that as I, every week, you know, freak out about sound. But I've softened.
Put your mic closer to your mouth. Put your mic closer to your mouth.
I need to get a stick.
Yeah.
So I can just push it.
Nice.
Anyway. But yeah, okay. So this movie, just a quick synopsis, is in a war-torn city. A lone Delta Force operative is instantly killed by a mysterious figure invisible to the
naked
eye.
Are you really reading that?
Yeah. No, anyway. So it's essentially about a world. It's essentially about a Delta Force military team in some made up city in Europe. It was Moldova.
Yeah.
And they're deployed for the ongoing Moldovan war. And James Badgedale's character is a DARPA researcher.
Yeah.
So nothing good comes from that, right? Who made a bunch of tech for them. And one of the things that is important to the story is he created these hyper spectral imaging goggles. So, and they've been issued to this particular team.
Yeah.
And we learn he's been working with this group for a few years. He's create. He actually created bulletproof underwear for them. You know, that was that was a pretty funny line. But there's something over there that is instantly killing
these like
soldiers.
The way the movie opens is just opens in a battle zone, and it's just one soldier who got separated.
Right.
And he goes into this, like, blown-out building with his goggles on, and he's looking around, and you just see all these people, like, laying on the ground, like, twisted and, you know...
Mangled
and everything.
Not, like, bloody, not, like, mutilated. Or
right.
Anything. Just they're in, like... They're in, like...
It literally looks like their souls have been drained from their body.
They're, like... They're actually... They're frozen.
Yeah.
Like, they're frozen instantly.
Yeah, literally the soul's been drained out of them.
But,
And he walks into the room and sees something, and then he... You know, expires.
Yes. So there's a ton of cool weapons in this, like future weapons. I read a synopsis that called this a cross between Black Hawk Down and Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
It's like, well, shit, yeah.
Yeah.
Until
the twist, but yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, God. And I will
twist,
say
the twist was awesome because I was like, oh, wow.
I didn't see the twist.
You don't see the twist coming at all.
You don't see it coming. And then when there's a thing that happens where, do you remember the bodies exhibit?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's something very reminiscent of that when I was like, that is freaking cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, like just all in, like this was a fun movie to watch.
Yep.
I felt like, I feel like if Netflix is going to continue to go after like this kind of stuff.
Well, sure. Yeah.
You know, because a lot of their original movies are into that $1 to $10 million range, right? I don't know exactly what the budget for this was.
Well, it'd be nice if, like, you have, like, this movie was supposed to be a release that did not get released.
Yeah.
And it'd be nice if Netflix picks up these type of movies, because if they would have done this, you know, 10 years ago, we would have gotten Trick or Treat, like, sooner, because Netflix would have, you know, Netflix wasn't a big deal 10 years ago. But Trick or Treat was a movie that sat on the shelf for a couple of years before it was released on DVD. And it's like, it's a great, like, anthology Halloween movie that people love.
Yeah.
But they didn't see it for years. They heard about it, but nobody ever got to see it. And it's like, you know, when you have something that is shelved by the studios, it's nice to see that Netflix will just go, well, we'll put it on.
Yeah,
you know?
It was Legendary that teamed with Netflix for this.
Yeah.
So,
and Legendary, I mean, you know, obviously they're being ran by smart people because they're doing a lot of, you know, good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the team at Legendary, and, you know, Nerdist is a part of Legendary.
Right.
You know, something we're a big fan of. It was just really good. It was really fun.
Yeah,
to watch.
And like I said, it's one of those ones where we don't want to spoil it, but it's one movie and then it twists, and you're like, okay, I wasn't expecting that.
Right.
So it's definitely worth checking out just for the special effects.
And yeah.
Obviously,
it's worth checking out because it's good.
Yeah, it's just a good movie.
You know, it's about 90-minute runtime.
Yeah.
You know, which I honestly. Nowadays, I feel like that's the perfect time for a movie.
Especially for this one, because there wasn't a lot of story to it. So, you know, that's what you need with a movie like this.
Oh, here's a headline from The Verge that calls it Gears of War meets Aliens.
That works, too. Yeah.
So, anyway. Yeah. So, Spectral, totally worth watching. Definitely certified infamous.
All right.
So moving on to movie number two.
Yep.
Which you didn't realize this one was streaming.
I got it on Black Friday.
When you told me you were watching it, I assumed you were watching it because Midnight Special is the second movie and it's streaming on HBO.
Right.
Currently, it was actually the movie 2 weeks ago. The premiere.
Oh, okay.
On HBO. So it's only been up for a couple weeks.
Oh, all right.
But I watched this one. Like, one, I didn't have the ability to sit and watch this all the way through.
Okay.
Not because I didn't want to. It's just because, like, a bunch of stuff came up.
Okay.
But when I came back, I rewound probably like I watched probably the first like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And then went back a half hour.
Right.
Like, not because I forgot what had happened, but because, like,
you just want to get back into the story.
Yeah. It's like, it's an in-depth.
Oh, yeah.
Like, thing. So this one was written and directed by Jeff Nichols. And it stars Michael Shannon and Joel Edgerton. And then Kirsten Dunst and Adam Driver have relatively big roles.
Mm-hmm.
And then the kid, Jaden Linebauer.
Yeah.
Where, like, I don't want to spoil this one either.
No.
But
now, did you recognize the kid at all? Have you seen a movie with Bill Murray called St. Vincent?
I didn't see it.
Okay. He's the kid in that. And that's like, I was going, man, I know this kid from somewhere. And I had to check after. I was not online at all when this movie was playing.
Yeah.
And so I was checking all this afterwards. But he is a really, like, good up and coming actor.
Like, if he wasn't in this role, like, I could have seen this thing going to, like, Asa Butterfield, like, 4 years ago. When
right.
He was
this would have been a Haley Joel Osment type role.
Oh, in the 90s, absolutely. Yeah. Like, yeah, like, him, like, Asa Butterfield currently, like, even, like, Shia LaBeouf when he was, like, coming up, like, you know, maybe after, like, Holes.
Right.
This would have been, like, something they would have gone after a kid like him for. Yeah, so the little boy's name is Alton.
Yep.
And, he has these weird...
He has abilities.
Powers? Abilities? Yeah.
Abilities.
He's a meteor freak. If you're going that, Smallville,
man,
on
that,
him. So,
that was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's
a lot of, like, cool visual without not being overly visual effects in this movie.
The beauty of this is a lot of this movie either takes place in a vehicle, car, van, because they kind of go back and forth, or a hotel room.
Yeah.
When they get out into the wide open spaces, that's when the stuff happens.
Right.
Like, and when I say the stuff happens, that's the effects.
Yep.
Because the story happens in those moments in between, right? Do you remember a movie, I think it was a TV movie, Savannah Smiles?
Yeah. Where it was a theatrical movie.
Was it theatrical? Yeah. Okay. Where the guys kidnapped the little girls or little girl. Like, but, you know, it wasn't malicious or anything like that. Like, you know, this at the beginning felt like a supernatural version of that.
Right.
You find out, and this isn't a spoiler, but you find out that Michael Shannon's character is, his character Roy, is Alton's dad.
Yeah.
And that Kirsten Dunst is his, or Kirsten, sorry, Dunst is his mom.
Right.
And then Joel Edgerton is just Roy's friend, Lucas.
Childhood friend.
Yeah, childhood friend, who is a state trooper.
Yeah.
Who, that guy is a freaking chameleon.
Yeah.
Like, it took us, I was like, oh, that is him.
Like, oh, yeah, I was like.
Did you ever see Warrior with Tom Hardy?
No, I haven't seen that one yet.
Dude, you need to watch that movie.
Like, I think I just haven't watched it.
MMA, like, tonight when you get home.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you can, like, watch.
Right.
To chill out this evening. But yeah, like, their friendship is huge.
It's just, it's a very, like, interesting movie because of the way it opens up with them being chased and then going to a compound that is a religious compound.
Yeah.
And you start finding out stuff that is disturbing, like, about Alton, about what they were doing to him.
Yeah.
And then when he starts to reveal what's going on with him, you're like, oh, okay. So my description of this movie after we watched it was, this is a 1980s John Carpenter movie without John Carpenter doing it. The music, the story went, the pacing.
I'll agree.
Yeah.
I think
it's not Big Trouble in Little China. It's more Escape from New York. More They Live, Escape from New York type feel.
Without the monster.
Without the darkness.
Yeah.
And that. Just with, you know.
This movie.
I said it was kind of E.T. meets John Carpenter.
Sure.
Yeah.
I was thinking, like, Daryl.
Yeah.
Or, like, like Small Wonder.
Yeah.
Things like that. Those are the type of things where you have these extraordinary kids who need to be protected.
Right.
Adam Driver. The more I see
that
Adam,
kid's got a future.
The more I see of Adam Driver.
Yeah.
The more I like him.
Yeah.
He was in the one with Jason Bateman and Tina Fey, the Thank You for Waiting or whatever.
Okay.
What where their dad died and they
Where they all had to sit on, they had to sit Shiva. And, yeah. I watched that. Yeah. He played the wild child.
Yeah. Timothy Olyphant. He was with Connie Britton in that one. I'm looking it up real quick, but
Timothy Olyphant, Tina Fey.
Yeah.
Where'd it go? Jane Fonda. I watched that a couple months ago.
Oh, actually. This Is Where I Leave You, which was also a great book. Corey Stoll was in that one. Well,
yeah.
So you had the bad guy from Ant-Man and the bad guy from Star Wars.
Yeah.
In the same movie.
And Jason Bateman.
Yeah. It's just, you know, awesome.
He's a friend with a guy named Hancock.
Yeah.
I just watched that the other night too.
So if you guys want a treat, go follow Johnny on Facebook.
Yeah.
Because he has lately started, whenever he's watching something, posted to Facebook.
Yeah.
So I always know what he's watching. So it's like I can decipher if he's going to, what he's going to ask me to watch next. You've been watching some good stuff lately though.
Hancock was you know, I'd been thinking about buying that movie for a long time.
Yeah.
And like we were at, I think it was an antique mall, and found it for $3 on Blu-ray. And I'm like, it's like, and then I put it in the other night and I'm like, it pops up extended cut. And I go, there was an extended cut of this movie?
Yeah, I have the DVD version of the extended cut.
I was like, I didn't know there was an extended cut.
I like that movie.
Yeah, it's a really good movie. That's one of Will Smith's better movies.
It's just one of his better characters, I think. But like, yeah.
But all everybody right. in that movie solid too. So
I think that movie kind of falls apart at the end. But
yeah.
I definitely enjoy the movie. So Midnight Special is I told you, like when we walked into the studio, I said that movie was effed up.
Yeah.
I actually used the F word.
I thought it was a really well done movie.
Yeah, and I didn't say it was effed up in a bad way. It was just, you know, it was one where you have to pay attention.
Right.
I very quickly put down my phone. Why? You know, because I was actually sitting there playing my Star Wars Commander game.
Like I said, I didn't get on the internet at all while I was watching this.
But yeah, I had to go and do something. And then when I came back to it, I made sure I went back just because it's like, I need to get back into this.
Yeah.
Because if you're not immersed.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, you're going to miss things. You know, he's reading,
don't eat or drink before you watch this movie. There are a couple parts where you can pause it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did like how he was reading the comic books.
Yeah.
You know, it opens with him reading Teen Titans. And I was like, I'm in. I'm just in. And it was like original Teen Titans. Like, you know.
Well, like you said, Michael Shannon. Yeah. Well, he's like, what's kryptonite? At one point, he's like, what's kryptonite? And Joel Edgerton and Michael Shannon have a discussion with him about
what they look at each other first. And then, he's like, it's what kills Superman.
I was making fun of it because I'm like, look, there's Spider-Man's girlfriend. Yeah. There's Han Solo's son.
Yeah.
I said, there's Uncle Owen. And there's
Zod.
I'm like, this is kind of weird.
Neil. Anyway. But totally worth watching. It's on HBO.
Adam Driver's just fun in this movie because he plays a scientist, but it's not taken too seriously.
He's an FBI scientist, too. So there's a great scene with him.
A cool effect scene.
Well, there is the cool effect scene, but I'm talking about the scene where...
with him and Joel Edgerton.
Where they part ways. And it's like, that is exactly what that guy would do. Like, you know, and this was the conversation he would have with Lucas.
Yeah.
And it's like, because he's a guy who endeavors to do the right thing.
Right.
But he's still a slime ball.
Right.
So he's still a schmarmy military federal doctor guy. All right. This one is also certified infamous for sure.
Definitely.
All right. So now moving on to the TV show portion of the episode. We will do spoilers.
We're spoiling this.
We are going to spoil this. Because the season has been out for over a year.
The first season?
done the second season.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
how long has the first season been out then?
The first season, it was like, it was a long time between them. Anyway, yeah. But that being said, if you haven't seen The Leftovers, pause it.
Yep.
Pause this because you need to, if you are at all interested in Lost, but where things actually happen and get tied up and like you learn things and it's not just question after question after question, go watch The Leftovers and then come back and listen to the rest of this.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's our disclaimer. So The Leftovers is an HBO original series.
Mm-hmm.
The first two seasons are streaming on HBO.
Based off of a novel?
It's based off of a novel by Tom Perrotta. Perrotta?
Yeah, he's one of the executive producers on
the
show.
He is. He wrote a bunch of the first season.
Right.
And Damon Lindelof from Lost. This show takes place 3 years after a global event that they called the Sudden Departure.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, what happens is 2% of the world's population, so roughly 140 million people, just vanish. They're sitting there 1 minute and they're gone the next.
Yeah.
I
mean, the best example of it is the opening episode where the baby's crying and then all of a sudden the baby's not crying.
Yeah. And so it's this mom and this baby's crying and she's like, ugh.
Yeah. It's one of those, I need a moment.
And then the baby stops and she turns around and looks and the baby is no longer there. And then it goes into the opening credit. So this show stars Justin Theroux. Amy Brenneman, Christopher Eccleston, Liv Tyler, and then Carrie Coon, who was Ben Affleck's sister in Gone Girl. And then a bunch of other people who kind of come and go. But those are, in the first season, those are the big ones. And then Regina King joins the cast in the second season.
Right.
We'll daughter? Get to her.
The daughter's pretty much a major character.
Margaret Qualley, I think is her name.
That's it.
Liz. Oh, and did I say Liv Tyler?
Yeah, you said Liv Tyler.
Okay.
Yeah. The daughter is a major.
She is. So,
unlike the son, the daughter is a major story.
The son keeps reminding me, the guy that played Aquaman on Smallville. He was Thad Castle on Blue Mountain State. And I cannot remember his name. What was that? But the kid Tommy, who is played by...
he was in one of the Hunger Games movies.
Yeah,
too.
Chris Zykla, I guess. Zyka, something, I don't know.
Zilka.
He reminds me of like the homeless man's Alan Richardson.
That's it.
Yeah. Like, you know, it's like I keep seeing... Like, cause
the
they
poor
look,
man's. The poor
they,
man's.
No, the homeless man's.
Oh, the homeless man's?
Because I don't think he's as good as Alan Richardson.
Yeah.
Justin Theroux in this show.
I don't know that I've ever seen him in anything before.
He was in Your Highness with Danny McBride and James Franco.
Oh.
He's the sorcerer.
Okay.
He was on a couple episodes of Parks and Rec. He's been in a ton of stuff. Like he's
one of those guys where I've seen him, but I don't know.
He's one of those guys who did those like lovey-dovey romantic rom-com things. He's with Jennifer Aniston in real life.
Well, like there's a show that I don't know if it still airs on Sundance, I think, that interviews writers, actors, and all that roundtable discussion.
Yeah.
And he's been on it before, and I'm like, you know, I know that he was who he is from that, and I'm like, okay. Because they've had him on there with actors discussing, you know, their shows and stuff about.
Oh, he was in American Psycho. He was the one guy who.
You know how long it's been since I've seen American Psycho?
Oh, really?
Psycho?
I don't know.
It's been a long time.
But yeah, he was the one that.
And he probably is like super young.
He was the one who kept getting.
I want to know.
Getting like, everyone high.
If his tattoo is real.
I think it is.
I think it is too.
Because he has
like,
one on
Jesus Christ.
Foot.
It's like, what the hell is that?
I mean, he was in Mulholland Drive.
Okay.
He's been around for a while. Yeah, I mean, he was on an episode of Ally McBeal. He was on a couple episodes of Sex and the City.
Never watched Sex and the City.
Yeah, I know. He was on The District, the Dennis Leary one about the police officers before they did Rescue Me.
Oh, okay.
He was in, he's Seamus O'Grady in Charlie's Angels Full Throttle.
The show just ended.
He was on 6 feet under. I mean, he's been around.
The show,
you know,
just ended.
It just ended, I get it. He played John Hancock and John Adams.
Oh, see? Okay. Yeah. I haven't watched that yet. Okay. But,
oh, you haven't watched that yet?
Yeah.
Oh, you totally have to watch that. Anywho, yeah, I mean, he's been in a ton of stuff.
Right. Yeah.
He is so good in this show as Kevin Garvey, who is...
Oh, yeah.
So the first season takes place in a small suburb of New York City called the fictional town of Mapleton, New York.
Yeah.
And this town is overrun by weirdness. And not just the fact that people disappeared, because that happens
like
all over
the
world.
Is weird.
Well, and so what I like about this show, and like I skew a little darker,
well,
I think, sometimes than you do.
I don't think they really have acknowledged that in certain parts of the world, more people disappeared than in other parts of the world.
Yes.
So in Mapleton, a good chunk of the citizenship disappeared.
Yeah. And yeah. I mean, they had one character with Connie Kuhn where her husband and two children disappeared.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like that was a rarity. But no, what I like is what happens is all of a sudden all these people have disappeared.
Yeah.
And so the people who are left to ask questions about God and religion and relationships and
just,
you know,
everything.
What does it mean to be a normal human
right
being?
Because the disappearance is, you know, beckons to the rapture and that, but you know,
we don't know if it's a rapture.
Well,
or not,
if it's a rapture, so then a lot of people are going to hell.
Well, but the thing is like, not, it wasn't just good people who
right,
were
yeah.
taken. Like, they're very, very conscious of letting you know that a lot of the people,
not everybody,
not
was
everyone
angel.
Was good. You know, that is the main point of Christopher Eccleston's character at the
right.
beginning. He's a priest, or a reverend, sorry, and he's essentially lost his flock.
Yeah.
And so he takes to researching the people who have disappeared and then putting out a newsletter
yeah.
about
telling
their
about
misdeeds.
About them, yeah.
And so
this is why this was not the rapture is pretty much what it
right.
should have been called, what he should have called his newsletter. This was not the rapture.
Yeah.
Because, you know, obviously, in the months that followed the disappearances, people would have been thinking it was the rapture.
Yeah.
And,
and then you have these
when
these
they really
cult,
all went back to the
yeah,
island.
Yeah. Well, you have, oh God, if it ends up like that, I will track down Damon Lindelof and I will squeeze him until he can no longer.
Matthew Fox
write.
Shows up.
Well, crying. He'll be crying.
I'm waiting for one of them to show up. So,
Yeah, that's kind of like aside, right? Man
yeah.
in the High Castle.
Yeah.
It's got four people from Battlestar Galactica right now.
Oh, wow.
And they're all Cylons.
Okay.
And so I'm like, I can't take season two seriously.
You think that?
Yeah. It's like, wait a second.
Wait a minute. Is this a Cylon invasion?
They have a plan. Anywho. But yeah, it's just, you know, when it asks those questions, right?
Well,
like,
things
that's
that,
what
like,
I dig into.
The reason why it got me is, and I don't know if it was in the first episode or if it was in the second episode, there's an interaction with him. He's the, sheriff?
He's the
chief
of police.
So he's the chief of police, and he walks up to an incident that's happened, and somebody turns around, and they're like, oh, Chief Garvey. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, and he's like, you're that one that lost his mind? And he goes, no, that was my dad.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait a minute, what?
Hold
it's like,
on
your
a
dad
second.
Was the chief and he lost his mind?
And now you're the chief.
Yeah,
and then it
like,
turns out his dad is,
yeah.
you know, Stick himself.
Right.
Scott Glenn. But
just that, like, that it's like, wait a minute, I want to know more about this guy.
Yeah, and so here's the interesting thing about the first season is it does deal a lot with cults, right?
Yeah.
You have a guy named Holy Wayne who claims he can hug your problems away.
Yeah.
Who's really interesting. In reality, he's more interested in impregnating underage Asian women.
Yes.
You have the Guilty Remnant, which, like, there's not a lot about them online, right? There's
they
not a
smoke
lot.
And they don't talk.
They don't talk, and their phrase they're saying is "Don't waste your breath."
Yeah,
and so they to show that they have to smoke when they're in public,
right?
And then they wear white, and essentially they just go around and badger people.
Yeah.
You know, they follow people around, and that's kind of where Liv Tyler's Meg comes into play.
Yep.
And so you have all these different things, and then you have these people who are trying to have a semblance of reality.
Right.
So in the first season, you have the woman who's the mayor of Mapleton, and you know, she wants to have like Heroes Day where they remember the people who departed.
Like everybody in the U.S. is supposed to be celebrating this holiday.
And they're doing a parade and you know, and then the Guilty Remnant, they show up.
Yeah, because it's the 3-year anniversary in the first episode. Yeah.
And the Guilty Remnant show up, and the people in the town are trying to.
Angry.
Well, they're mourning. They're still like, you know, it's one of those things that's not like where you get to say goodbye.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's just. It's so intense at times that you have to keep watching. I watched the first 10 episodes in 3 days.
Right.
I watched the second 10 episodes because it was a Saturday and Sunday in two. And then went back and rewatched a good chunk of it.
Took me about a week and a half to watch the whole thing.
I know I kept.
Well, I told you, like, you know, it's one of those ones that you have to watch a few at a time and then stop because it makes you feel dark.
See, and where that's where we differ, right?
Yeah.
Is I eat this stuff up.
Yeah.
Like this will be one where I go and I rewatch everything leading up to the Sunday that it premieres.
Right.
You know, like I said, this is the kind of stuff that I really, really, really love. You know, the first season, it takes place in Mapleton. You have Michael Gaston's character.
Who has a name.
I think they did name him on IMDb.
Dog killer.
Yeah. Well, but he's going around. Dean. He goes around and he's killing dogs
that have been running wild for the last 2-3 years.
And so that's where we meet him.
Yeah.
Is his interaction with Kevin, where he says, "Stop killing our dogs."
Yeah.
And he replies, "They're not our dogs anymore."
Right.
And that scene where they are parked on the side of the road and there's the deer and Kevin is like,
yeah, the buck.
The buck who keeps like breaking into schools and. He keeps breaking into Kevin's house.
Yeah, he broke into Kevin's house and destroyed the kitchen.
And they're sitting there, and he's having this moment, and it's like
he's talking to him, like, "Did you destroy my kitchen?
Yeah. Was that you?
Was that you?"
And then from out of nowhere, this pack of dogs just descends, and oh man, that scene is graphic. They rip this deer apart.
The worst part's the deer screaming, which was actual deer screaming,
and then. You know, Michael Gaston's character rolls up and he's like, "You got your gun, chief?"
Yeah.
And they just start like wholesale killing these dogs. But, you know, it's that kind of thing. Now, here's the question. Yeah.
Because we know that Garvey's dad lost his mind.
Right.
Started seeing people, mm-hmm. talking to people.
Right.
We start to see Garvey going through the same thing.
We think, yeah.
Do you think Gaston's character was in his head the whole time?
No, because other people meet him. Like because he has a conversation with Jill, and with Jill's little friend who her and Kevin, you know, had that moment.
Yeah, but the thing is, did he really have those conversations, or did Garvey think that
it looked like they did? Right. But and then everything that happened with Patty,
she was crazy too. Though.
Well, oh yeah,
yeah.
So Patty was the head of the Guilty Remnant in Mapleton,
mm-hmm.
and. She like what we learned about her in season two.
Yeah,
you totally like understand.
You understand more of the season one, like why she was the way she was.
And then you had the whole incident with Gladys,
mm-hmm.
which was brutal. I had a hard time watching that.
Really?
Well, I mean,
I didn't. I mean,
when they tie an old lady to it or duct tape an old lady to a tree and then stone her to death.
Yeah,
that's rough, man. Like I don't like. I wasn't watching that like, yeah, this is my jam. I'm like, ew.
I just was like, wonder why, what's going on here?
Well, and then we find out.
Yeah.
But what happened was they went from house to house and stole all the pictures.
Yeah.
Which I'm sorry. Like if one of my two disappeared and someone came into this house and took the pictures of them.
Yeah.
I'd probably be one of the first.
Well, and they don't tell you why.
Right. Well, they you never know why.
You don't find. Oh, yeah, you do.
Well, oh, yeah, I guess you do. Yeah,
you do by the end. Yeah.
At the end. That's right.
By the end of the first season, you find out why they did it, and it's very dark.
Yeah. And then you have Jill, who is Jill Garvey.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then Lori Garvey is Amy Brenneman's character, and she's Kevin's ex-wife.
Yeah.
She's a part of the guilty
remnant. Well, she's still his wife when the show starts.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, she, well, but she's his ex-wife by the end of the first season.
Yeah.
So, but she just left them and went to the guilty remnant.
And you don't know why.
We have, well,
literally, like, this is like Lost. You don't know why things happen, but things happen.
But then they tell us why they happen.
Yeah, and one episode, they tell you pretty much everything about the Garveys that you're like, well, okay, sold.
Yeah.
You know?
So, Jill's an interesting character.
Mm-hmm.
She's really conflicted about who she needs to be, who she wants to be.
Right.
Who she's expected to be. Her little friend.
In this world, it's like, you know, it would affect you. It would affect the young people, especially because they don't know what's going on. They don't understand, you know. At the point that the disappearances happened, she was, what, maybe 14?
Yeah. So, I mean, she was old enough to understand, but young enough to
I mean, she still had really braces when it happened.
Yeah. No, you're thinking of, oh, yeah, she did. Yeah, she did. And then, yeah, her friend, what was it, Emily. Or Emily Mead is the actress.
Yeah.
Who, you know, was kind of.
It literally is Kevin and Jill's stories are very similar in the sense that they're both trying to find themselves.
Yeah.
Well, and his friend Gambone, you know, becomes his friend.
Yeah.
And this girl are very similar in that way that they're the voice of discourse.
Mm hmm. I mean, that's a good way to describe it.
Voice of discourse because it's, you know, her, you know, telling Jill that she slept with Kevin, which you never know if it actually happened.
So
you suspect it did.
In the book, it didn't.
Right.
So
I'm like, probably
did. I don't think it did.
Right.
But
yeah, first you were like, I think he did.
I think he may have, but then I went and I read part of the book.
Right.
So,
whereas for me, I was like, no, he didn't.
Yeah. So, but you have that, right? And then you have, the kids in this town are messed up, man.
They're dark.
Like when they're playing their spin the bottle with the app and, you know, it's like, you know, to have sex or choke someone or, you know, whatever.
We're just going to put you in a refrigerator. Yeah.
Well, that was not the spin the bottle thing, but. You know, at the beginning when she's like choking the kid while
while
he's taking care of business on himself.
Right.
And she's got the tears running down her eyes. Like she doesn't want to be there. The refrigerator for her was a rebirth.
Right.
Of who she needed to be.
Yeah.
And the fact that Scott Glenn, her grandpa, was the one who saved her.
He escapes the freaking
sanatorium.
And
he's like, it was so great. He's like, you didn't see me.
Yeah. Don't tell your dad you see me. It's like, wait a minute. You were choking to death in her refrigerator.
Wait, yeah, no, why were you in there?
Yeah.
It's
literally, and it's the thing where, you know, I'm a fan of Lost. And those are those Lost moments where something like that happens and you're just like, what?
I tolerated Lost.
Yeah.
Like, there were parts of it I loved.
Yeah.
And there were parts of it where it's like, why do I keep watching this show?
There's seasons where I'm like, you know, it's the same as being a Star Wars fan.
I
forgive the prequels.
Yeah.
I don't majorly like the prequels, but I will watch the prequels.
I feel like Lindelof learned a lot from
Lost.
And
I think
Fringe
people,
and
you know, that are working with him are like, no, reining in. Like, he's not the overall
writer. And one of the beauties of this show, especially in the second season, is Mimi Leader is one of the producers.
Yep.
And she directs, I think, 4 of the 10 episodes.
Well, yeah.
Maybe more.
She's an excellent director.
And that you can tell the ones she directs because they're awesome. But yeah, so season 10, the way it ends. Oh, wait, we didn't even talk about Nora.
Yeah.
So Nora Durst is Connie Kuhn's character.
Yeah.
Who she might be my favorite character on the show.
Oh, really? Okay.
Because she's the saddest character on the show at first. And
She's the celebrity of the town because her whole family disappeared.
And like of the country, she's one of the few who lost everyone. And they're called legacies.
Yeah.
And she works for the Department of the Departed affairs or whatever.
It's pretty much an insurance company coming in to check and
see. Well, it's the government. And so she goes into people's houses and she asks, I think it's 121 questions.
Something like
questionnaire.
That. Yeah.
And, you know, she has to decide, or she helps decide whether the person was departed or if it's fraud.
Yeah.
and it's really, really
which you don't
weird
really get an idea of how the fraud part of that works until season two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But and how easy I think it is.
Well, she tells the story about the guy in season two where it's like, you know, he literally committed fraud and she hunted him down to like Venezuela or something. It's like, what?
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
What?
Well, it's just, you sit there and you start to think about it when they tell stuff like that. And you're like, oh, yeah, you would have a lot of that. Yeah. You would have people like trying to get insurance claims by saying, my husband disappeared.
My kid departed. Right, yeah. And it's like, you know, no, they're off in a cult somewhere.
Right.
But so she goes to a conference where she's supposed to speak.
Well, actually, you have to talk about what she does when she hires a hooker. First, because that happens before the conference.
I forgot about that, yeah.
So she's just a sad character that's just pretty much like, you know, the person that would stand in the room when everybody else is laughing and talking and just stand in a corner and just look at her drink. So Christopher Eccleston is her brother.
Right.
And he tells her that her husband was cheating on her the whole time.
With their kid's preschool teacher.
Yeah.
Who's still stalking her.
Yeah. But, like, she goes online and she hires a hooker. And you're like, okay, because they never give you an idea of her sexuality or what, you know, what she does. It's just she lives in an empty house by herself.
Right. Watching her kids' favorite shows. Eating her kids' favorite food.
Yeah, buying everything and putting everything exactly like it was the day they disappear. So she goes online. She hires this hooker. The hooker comes to her house and is like, well, what do you want to do? And she pulls out a gun and she goes, I want you to shoot me. Mm-hmm. And I was literally like, okay, is she going to die? Are they killing this character?
Yeah.
And then she pulls a bulletproof vest out and she goes, I've done this before.
Yeah.
And the hooker's like, I don't want to.
No, thank
you. And she goes, I've given you this amount of money. Do it. And you're going to get the bonus. And the hooker literally hand shaking. And I'm thinking, oh, she's going to kill her. Shoots her, and she falls, and you're like, "Oh, did it go through the vest?"
Whoa!
And the hooker takes off running out of the house, and it's like, "Okay," and she gets
up. Yeah.
At that point, I knew what this character was because I'm like, "You don't want to be there."
And then, you know, she had a moment with, she had a couple moments with Kevin.
Yeah,
like
throughout the season, she started having
more moments with him, and then. She goes and she officially files for divorce.
Yep.
And it's so here's the interesting thing is the laws in the country have changed, right?
Yeah.
Because the people who are departed, it's like, well, what if they come back?
What if they come back? Right.
And the judge reminds her, hey, if they're departed and they come back, this is still legally binding. You're no longer married. We don't need their consent.
Right.
So I found that really interesting. And then when her and Kevin are passing in the courthouse hallway, he's like, oh, you want me to get you out of a ticket? And she goes, nope, just getting divorced. He's like, me too.
Yeah, I was like, hey.
Oh, they're totally hooking up because they kind of had a few missed encounters the first time. So them ending up together.
But she goes to the hotel after that.
She goes away.
Which is very dark in a way too.
The whole trip to New York was probably one of the darker parts.
Oh yeah.
Without like the darker parts just story wise, not necessarily actions, even though that party was pretty depraved.
Well, it's the whole thing of the group that she's part of. It's their company gathering, like big companies do. She gets there and her identity's been stolen.
Yeah.
And it's like,
and
wait
no
a minute,
one believes
these
her.
Companies, like, you know, and it's like, no one's believing her. So she's given a visitor badge. Mm-hmm. She goes through, she's looking for whoever has her identity. And she eventually finds them. Mm-hmm. And it's somebody who's totally against the sudden departures.
Right.
And that, so after that, she's pretty much in a very dark place and goes and meets the
Holy
Hug
Wayne.
Master.
Holy Wayne.
Holy Wayne. So,
which when she opened the door and they saw Holy Wayne, that was great. And then do you have PayPal?
Yeah.
Like, I literally fell off the couch laughing when it's like, oh my God, the religious shaman of the future takes PayPal.
Yes, of course he does.
And you know what, though? For $100 or $1,000 to hug someone and have all your problems go away? I'm not a believer.
He was taking advantage of people, but it was working.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he didn't have any holy powers, but
when he hugged her, everything came out. Like she literally just
thing
released.
She needed.
It was
that,
the release.
It was the dam broke open.
Yeah,
and it was nothing mystical about it.
Yeah,
it was just he.
And
was
I think the whole
time
I'm like, wait a minute, that's been his deal the whole time. It's just the fanatics believe a different thing,
right?
But his deal was he hugs you, and
it's what you need.
It's what you need.
So, and then she comes back.
Yeah,
in her
a different person.
She does, and she's happier. She goes and asks Kevin out again.
She throws away all the cereal.
And they have some pretty raucous lovemaking.
Yes,
which she's an attractive lady.
Yeah. but at that point, Liv Tyler's character is starting to
So Meg has become a part of the guilty remnant,
even though she's still talking.
Well, I mean, she talks a little.
Yeah,
she can't shut up.
at times, yes.
But yeah, Meg. I thought Meg in season two was more interesting than Meg in season.
Well, Meg in season one is more interesting because of what you find out.
No, I thought Meg in season two. Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry.
You don't find out what Meg was before.
And you don't find out why she joined the guilty remnant.
Right.
Now, Meg did not have anyone who was departed.
Right.
And most of the people who were part of the guilty remnant had someone who was departed.
Some departure, yeah.
And we learn about Lori's person that was departed.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, come on, that's one of the... she probably had the worst.
I was just like, okay.
So she was pregnant.
Yep.
And she was getting an ultrasound. And then she looks over.
And her baby went back to the island.
And the baby went back to the island. I mean, that is messed up.
Yeah.
Like, whoever wrote that episode, because I don't think that was a Lindelof episode.
No?
No. I mean, that was...
There was just a lot of bad stuff going on in the episode.
Yeah. Okay, so season one ends. There's a big... Like, you know, people start hunting down the guilty remnant people.
Well, you finally find out why they took the pictures.
Yeah.
And the reason they took the pictures is because they bought a bunch of dummies, and they shaped the dummies into...
Well, they were those life model decoy dummies.
Right.
That the guy from New York's company sells.
Right, yeah. But they literally had shaped them to look like everybody that had disappeared.
What they were doing when they disappeared.
Right.
So as best they could tell.
Well, yeah, the guilty remnant puts them wherever they were when they disappeared. So Nora walks into her kitchen... And her husband and kids are sitting there.
And she sits down.
Yeah.
That was the creepy part.
Well, first she loses it again. And it's like, what's going to happen?
But then she goes and she sits down.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of gathers herself. But you understand why the town people they go nuts.
Yeah. And at this point, Kevin had been in the woods with Patty.
Yeah, he was with Patty out in the woods. Yeah. He doesn't even know what's going on at this
point.
And
Patty had killed herself.
And Patty kills herself. You have Matt, Christopher Eccleston's character, trying to help these people.
Yep.
You know, and just he constantly, man, he can't catch a break.
He's got concussions running all over the place.
He's about to lose his church.
Yep.
He goes to the casino. He wins $160,000 because he's got one day left to bring a cash offer in. The guy in the parking lot tries to jack him.
Yep.
He, I'm assuming, killed the guy.
I think so, too.
And then he goes and oh, God, when he stopped the car, he's like, do not stop. Do not stop. Do not stop.
Yeah, he has a habit of stopping his car and not learning a lesson from
it. And he goes and he helps these people, and he gets hit in the face with a rock.
Yeah.
And he's out for 3 days. He rushes to the bank. He thinks it's,
the
that
same
morning.
Day, yeah.
He thinks it's that, yeah. And they're like, dude, you lost your bank 3 days ago, or you lost your church 3 days ago. He shows up to find the guilty remnant burning the church stuff.
Yeah.
Painting the church white, because that's what they do. They buy the foreclosed houses and they paint everything white.
Right.
And I'm surprised he didn't lose his collective shit right there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, wow. And then they take, they're based out of the church. They're based out of the row houses. And then they pull their shenanigans there with the life model decoys. And the town just erupts. They're we've had enough
literally
of these people.
War zone.
They go to their block. They burn the houses down. They're beating these people.
At this point, Jill had decided to join them.
Right.
And was with her mom.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin rolls up and she's being dragged out of a house by somebody.
Yeah, Lori
Yeah, he beats him down and she starts yelling Jill's name.
Yeah,
and
which is the first
house.
Thing she said like, in like 3 years.
Since she had joined the guilty remnant. And He goes in and rescues her.
Yeah. And there's the guy sitting there, and he's like, nah, I'm good. I'm just going to burn. And, right. You know, it's like, yeah.
There was a lot of weird stuff going on in that episode. I mean, you know, Nora starts writing a letter. It's yeah. like, you know, you're seeing scenes playing mm-hmm. out while she's writing this letter, mm-hmm. and we're getting what she's writing. And pretty much she's decided she's leaving,
mm-hmm.
and she's going alone, and she's, you know, not, she yeah. doesn't want to be with him anymore and that. And it shows her walking to his house.
Thanks for the fishes and all that.
Yeah. And she goes up the steps and she's going to put the note on the door, and she hears something behind her, mm-hmm. turns around, and there's Holy Wayne's baby.
Yeah. That Tommy, who is Lori's son.
Yeah.
Kevin's
adopted son. Yeah.
You know, who he left it there for Kevin.
Yeah.
And then Dora finds it.
Yep.
And then the next thing you know,
she turns around and yeah. Well, she turns around and there's Kevin and Jill like coming back from the
yeah. All the covered
fire,
in soot.
All covered in soot. And you know, it's pretty much like, you know, a family being built.
It was the birth of a family. Yeah. Again, like there was a lot of rebirths that happened yeah. in the first season. Kevin didn't go through one per se.
No, he did.
He went through a crucible with Patty.
His story doesn't really get played out until the second season.
So, wow, we're going long on this one.
Yeah?
Yeah, because we have to talk about season two. And I don't think we can do it in like 2 minutes.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sure we could, but we wouldn't do it justice. So season two, I had an issue going into season two.
Okay.
Because the Garveys and the Jamesons relocate to a town called Jardin, Texas.
Yeah.
Also known as Miracle.
Yeah.
It's the only town in America that didn't have someone departed.
Yeah.
So I was like, wait a second. Like, I thought more people from the town were going to go there.
Right.
I think when I was reading. And so I was like, oh, God, this is, how are they going to explain this?
Yeah.
You know, so, but the fact that it just ended up where it's just that
the main
core.
Cast. Yeah, yeah, the core cast. Yeah.
Because I was glad to get rid of the mayor. I was glad to get rid of all the stupid cops.
Right.
You know, I was glad to get rid of the guilty remnant.
Right.
For why we were rid of them. But yeah, so once they get there, it's so weird. You
yeah,
know?
Like you thought Mapleton was a weird town.
Yeah.
And then you get to Miracle and it's like,
Well, and it was weird because it's so normal in an extraordinary way because
yeah.
it's a national park now.
Right.
And it's gated, like, and not just like a
oh, yeah.
gate. It's
to me,
fenced in.
To me, it felt more like a gulag. I mean,
yeah.
it really felt like a really nice gulag.
I thought
like,
of it. I well, thought of it more
welcome
like
to
a
Miracle. You got your bracelet on?
I thought it was more like a zoo.
Yeah,
because people come
too.
Visit
yeah.
and they take tours and
right,
that kind
yeah.
of stuff. And so
take a picture with the woman who was trying on that wedding dress. Well, that
yeah,
happened.
The yeah. first episode we meet the Murphy family.
Yes.
And we don't really see Kevin.
We don't see any of our
we don't
heroes.
See until the last
right.
2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Or I guess the last
yeah,
10
it's about
minutes,
the last 10 minutes.
10, 15
yeah.
minutes. And it opens with these like cave people and it's like, what?
Yeah, that was really
going
weird.
On here.
Really weird.
This is odd, but kind of cool.
Right.
And, like, I'm kind of turned on, but I'm not.
okay.
I'm kidding. That was a joke. But yeah, so you have the cave people and then it morphs into the three girls
right.
running around. And,
yeah.
You know,
yeah, it's the same land, suits. Same area of yeah. land. Just we've jumped ahead 100,000 years.
Yeah.
And you know.
But
meanwhile,
meanwhile, back at the show,
yeah, you're like, wait a minute, okay, this is the same show. Because at first I was like, yeah. did they decide to go in a whole different direction?
So you have John Murphy, who is Regina King's husband,
mm-hmm.
who was in jail.
You don't know that in the first episode.
No, we don't.
No.
Well, not we do. We learn that at the end.
No, you don't learn
is that
in the
second
episode.
Okay,
yeah.
But he's a firefighter.
Yep.
He goes to Eddie's house from Family Matters.
Yeah.
They burn his house down.
Well, you got to tell why, though. You're jumping like really
I know.
Far ahead.
So what John does is they don't think anything is especially special.
Yeah, there's nothing special about Miracle.
And there's this lake that people try and get water out
yeah.
of and... You know, only locals are allowed to swim in it. There's one scientist who has an exemption to study the
right.
water. But people try and drink it and they think it will cure them and that sort of thing.
Right.
So Eddie from Family Matters.
Jazz from Transformers. Yeah,
that too. he reads people. He takes their palm and he kind of, you know, he's
and him and John have been friends as kids.
Since kids.
Yeah.
And so John feels like he is exploiting.
He's a false prophet.
He is a false prophet. Right. Thank you. And they beat him and throw him through a window.
When the whole time he's talking about the renters that are coming to live upstairs. Right. And you're like, oh, I wonder who that is.
Yeah, which we have no idea.
Yeah.
So, you know, all this happened.
Well, I suspect it, but,
Well, we didn't know who necessarily. Again, I didn't see any previews.
Right.
But so then the house burns down and, you know, you learn that John is not the most savory of characters.
Right.
So, and he goes back to his family and you wonder why Regina King is with him. Because she's a doctor and, you know, the son is very religious.
Yep.
The daughter is, you know, odd.
Yeah, yeah. She's has some physical issues.
She's epileptic.
Yeah.
And
which you don't know until the second episode, but she's just an odd character.
That is the second episode.
The birthday dinner is the second episode. Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, it's so, you know, it's this whole new family dynamic.
Right.
And Patty asks him a great question in the second episode, the mental projection of Patty, if you will.
Yeah.
Are they a part of your story or are they a part of yours?
Yeah. Are you a part of their story or are they a part of your story? And that, because she's his adversary pretty much.
Yeah. She's
She's Kevin's adversary.
Yeah.
She was in the beginning of the whole series, but
she has been all along.
After she kills herself and she's attached to him, you're pretty much like, okay, is this a real attachment or thinking that?
See, I think Scorpius John Crichton in Farscape, that's what's going on without the implant.
Right.
She's there.
Yeah.
Like, I think the metaphysical world that's been set up on this show, I feel like there was a part of that was her.
Yeah.
Because of the way episode 7 goes.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, she's definitely like, that's her attached to him. It's not his brain. You think like, you know, he's losing his mind and the whole time he's not losing his mind.
No.
And he's just having blackouts.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's literally blacking out and it's like, okay.
He might have epilepsy.
Yeah. Well, he has something. But, I mean, you know, it's one of those things where he blacks out multiple times in the first season, doesn't remember what he's doing. And then it, you know, it happens a few times in this season, but it's more Patty's there with him.
Right.
And you find out why he's blacking out this season because of, you know, he wakes up in the lake when it disappears after the girls disappear.
Yeah. And so that's kind of where everything kicks off.
So like another disappearance pretty much happens.
Well, that's what they think. Well, that's what it's set up as. They call them secondary departures.
Yeah.
Which have almost all been proven to be
fake. Yeah.
And then you have episode 2 where we get the Garveys coming to
It's literally you
town.
Have the first 3 episodes are pretty much POV of the characters, introducing new characters, reintroducing characters from the previous season, because obviously you said there was a big gap between the first and second seasons.
Yeah.
And that. So, I mean, you know, it's interesting the way they did it. It had more of a Lost feel to it than the first season did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, the whole season really does have a Lost feel to it. And that. But there's reasons why.
It was like 2 steps forward and then 1 step back.
Right.
Like, 2 steps forward, 1 step back. You know, or actually, you know what? No, it's 1 step forward, 2 steps back, 1 step forward, 2 steps back. And then it kind of all worked out at the end. But they get there and that's where we learn that it was their house that burned down. And
The one they were going to rent out was the one that got burned.
And we found that Nora was able to sell her house for like a couple million dollars.
Because it was a focal point.
Because the bunch of students from MIT got a grant. They wanted to study her house.
Right.
So
thanks, Tony Stark.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. No, he departed.
Oh, wow. That's sad.
You didn't read Civil War 2 and number 8 yet, did
no,
you?
No, I haven't. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
Brian Bendis, I'll say a lot. He can end a story.
Yeah.
Jeff Johns can learn a thing or two. Hickman can definitely learn a thing or two. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Go back to your thoughts.
So they get to town and they find out that their rental is burned down.
Yeah.
And they're told they can either turn around and GTFO.
Yep.
Or they can buy a house.
Right.
And there's an auction that's about to start, as luck would have it. And she asks, hey, when's the next auction? He's like, this is the first one in like 8 months.
Yeah.
So she walks in and there's a house that she sees. And she's like, this is the house that I want. Bidding's happening. Price is going up. And then she just drops the hammer. And she's like, $3
million. $3
million. And he's like, all right, Kevin's already like, are you sure? And she's like, I got this.
And we've already seen this house.
Yeah.
In the first episode.
We saw the outside. Yeah, we did not see the inside.
The outside of the house looked like crap.
Oh, yeah. And so even the auctioneer's like, ma'am, the bid is $1 million.
Yeah.
$1.2 million. She's like, I don't care. I really want the house. And so, bam, they own the house.
Yep.
And then, you know, there's stuff happens. And
the auction gets shut down. $3 million.
Yeah, no kidding. But, you know, there's a bunch of stuff that just kind of happens.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, this, I'm all in. Like,
right.
You know, I was all in after
where
the
weirdness
episode,
of the town makes you want to know what's going to happen.
There's the guy up in the tower.
Yep.
There's the captain from 21 Jump Street.
Yeah. Stephen Williams out in a trailer with Christmas lights.
Yeah.
That his grandson keeps coming out to see him.
Yeah, we have different thoughts on. You think he?
They mentioned something about the pedophile story.
Yeah,
and it was John.
Yeah, so I.
But John literally tells Kevin that that's not what happened.
No, I think that's what John told people what happened.
Yeah, might have been.
You know, but he's kind of like the shaman of the town.
Yeah,
and you know. He kind of pops up when you need him to.
Right.
Like, I think they used him the perfect amount. Jumping ahead, his end to the story was abrupt.
Yep.
And kind of came from out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it was like, I can see why he did that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you go through, and so at the end of the first episode, the girls have disappeared.
Yep.
At the end of the second episode, we learn that Kevin was there.
Right.
We don't necessarily know if he saw anything or if he was a part of it, but he was stupid enough to put his muddy hand on the side of a car. It's like, dude, you are a cop.
He was a cop. He forgot how cops work.
He was a bad cop.
Yeah.
Not a dirty cop. Just
right. Just
cop.
A bad cop.
And, you know, and so you go through this season, and it's just like so much cool stuff happens.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you have things with Meg. You have Lori, who's no longer part of the Guilty Remnant. She's trying to save people.
Tommy's working with her, trying to pull people out of the Guilty Remnant.
They're kind of going in and pulling people out. She's writing a tell-all book about it, or trying to. She's a mess.
Yeah.
I don't like
that actress, though. So, like...
So you're not the only person who has said, you know, I don't like Amy Brennan.
Never been a fan of her.
I'm not either. There was a part of me that said, oh, she took this show so she could sit around and smoke cigarettes.
Yeah, maybe.
You know? I think anyone could play that character.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't change one ounce of the story.
No.
Now, if you take Justin Theroux out, I don't know who you put in. If you take Connie
Matthew
Kuhn
Fox.
If you take, he's not pretty enough. if you take Connie Kuhn out, I really don't know what actress pulls that role off.
Yeah, I don't.
You take Chris Eccleston out. Like, who better to play Matt
than a doctor?
Than a doctor? Well, a doctor playing a priest. You know, I think Regina King is perfect.
Yeah.
You know. It's, you know, the kids, the teenagers are all cast really well.
Yeah.
Like Amy, like the
I mean, Liv Tyler's playing a great role.
God,
she's
so good. But, you know, Amy and Lori and Tommy could literally be any actor.
Yeah.
Like neither one of them matter.
Really,
I mean,
think so?
Yeah, I think the kid that plays Tommy is the weak link of the show.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. I mean, you can disagree. Yeah. It's just my opinion, but
I mean, I don't hear or there, neither yeah. one, because he's well, not so in it I enough think, for me
I
to go.
But I think that shows, like,
because I hate you.
In the book, he had a little bigger role.
Okay.
So, and I think just because that actor isn't strong enough to really pull off any of the meatier stuff.
Yeah.
Because the stuff that happened in season one with...
At a certain point, it was like you thought, oh, he's going to have a bigger role.
But
and
yeah.
Like, nah.
But I think it's just because he's not, yeah. you know, that great. But... Yeah, so moving through as things are going on and there's this investigation happening.
Right.
You know, outside of Miracle is, you know, the world's largest assortment of freaks and weirdos this side of Burning Man.
Woodstock, man. It's yeah. Woodstock.
It's Burning Man to a higher level.
Okay.
But they're all like shysters
Isn't
and swindlers.
Burning Man just Woodstock yeah. in the next generation?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how long Burning Man's been going on for. But, you know.
No, it's just the group who wants to get in.
They want
they
to get in.
They can't get wristbands,
so bad.
And they're yeah. just hanging out. Hey, I got this much money. Can you want to yeah. sell your wristband? Yeah, right. You know, come on.
Because
they're trying to, they're the zealots.
Yes. They are
literally
to...
the zealots. They want to drink the water. Mm. You know, they want to have the Kool-Aid and. You know, lay down with Jim Jones.
They want to take what's special from it and take it for themselves.
Yeah.
You know, and
they're the members of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.
That are trying to get into heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's perfect. Perfect. Yeah. So, you know, you
just
have
to go with the religious allegories well, that are
yeah,
in the show.
There's plenty of them.
Yeah.
So you have like this great kind of mixture. Of like normal that's
yeah.
not and then not normal that until a point is relative.
Well, it's like the way that I was looking at this season was you get the weirdness of Kevin's story.
Right.
And then you get the normalness of the rest of his family who sure. are just going through normal, yeah. the normal, you know, Norris angry,
mm-hmm.
you know, her and Kevin aren't getting along right now. Jill's dealing with meeting a boy
mm-hmm.
and liking him and him liking her and right. not for any, you know, like
weird
he just wants
reason.
To get in her pants.
No, he doesn't want
yeah,
to get in her
he
pants.
He doesn't want to get in her pants. He
and even says, I don't know if I love you.
I don't know and, you yet yeah. enough to know that I want to sleep with you.
Yeah.
It's pretty much like the thing he says to her without being mean about it.
Yeah. It's like, way to go, Murphy kid.
Yeah, well, so. And it's like, you know, then you've got disappeared girls.
You have Evie and her... little buddies.
And then you've got
you got Matt and his wife, you
yeah,
know, and
I mean
and what's going on there, like, because we didn't really talk about his wife was paralyzed during the departure,
yeah,
and she's been in a wheelchair ever since, and when they first get to Miracle
pretty much comatose,
yeah,
yeah, without the coma,
and yeah, when they first get to Miracle she wakes up.
Which we don't see.
There.
They don't
we
show
don't.
Him, but he tells a story.
And we believe him. And
yeah.
Well, you know, nobody believes him, but...
I believed you, Chris Eccleston.
She ends
You're
up...
very believable.
She ends up pregnant.
Yes.
And, yeah, it's one of those things where nobody believes him at that point. Like, the doctor's
right.
like, I'm going to need you to sign a waiver because you... apparently had relations with your vegetable wife.
Yeah, your
you
vegetative state.
Because there was no brainwaves going on.
Right.
But she ends up waking up.
Yes. Like, and just out of the blue. Wakes up.
And it's like, what is going
yeah.
on here? You know, Kevin is trying to battle his demons. Him and the captain from 21 Jump Street are, you know, starting to
Well,
work
don't
together.
Forget about the ex-wife showing up.
Oh, yeah. Lori shows up.
Looking for Tommy.
Well, she calls looking for Tommy.
Yeah.
First.
She talks to Nora.
And Nora's like, he's not here. And she's
yeah,
like,
we
well, you don't have to lie
seen
to
him
me.
At all.
And,
yeah.
And so Tommy, who had been going undercover in the Guilty Remnant elsewhere.
Gets raped.
Gets kidnapped. And then Meg has her way with him. Has relations.
Just say that he was raped. It happens
well,
to men,
was
too.
Was he? Because he
yeah,
got
he
into
was, well,
it.
Seriously, so, in all
no,
seriousness,
yeah.
yeah, he's raped. I mean, so. His pants are pulled off.
Oh, yeah.
And she mounts him and rides him to the end and then walks away.
To completion.
And then he, you know, is dragged out of the trailer.
And they douse
him
in
gasoline.
I so
like,
thought she was going to throw
oh,
that cigarette
this is him.
At him.
He's over.
Yeah, sweet. He's gone. But no, they live.
Well, unlike Lost, not many people have died.
Yeah.
on this.
So when she did that, though, she didn't kill him. She created a follower for life.
Yeah.
He is in love with her.
No, he's not, though.
Because it can be argued because he's still wearing the white and, you know.
By the end, he's not part of that group. Yeah.
I disagree a little bit, but I think he's questioning things, but he's still.
Well, it's the whole thing of, you know, this boy's looking for something.
He needs, and that's the whole thing.
So religious cults are like, oh, that's our recruit right there.
Check out that guy. Yeah. Hey, buddy.
So he was following Holy Wayne.
Hey, buddy, I got something.
And now he's like following the Guilty Remnant.
Yeah.
By the end of this season.
Yeah.
Of, you know, Meg is taking him somewhere in Texas and then finds out that everybody who's her enemy is in Texas.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, okay, well, we're going to go there. You find out in her flashbacks that she likes the white lines.
And she and her,
Well, she's literally like the thing that happened in the first season is Matt. Is that his name? Christopher.
Yeah.
Matt and her have a confrontation about how her mom died the day before the disappearances. And, you know, she's angry about it. Mm-hmm. Well, you get to see what happened. And she's in the bathroom, like, coking herself up, and her mom dies in a restaurant.
She's a spoiled rich kid, you know, planning her wedding.
Yeah.
And her mom dies, and then the next day everything happens.
Yeah.
And then she starts to kind of question who she is. Like, she's still a spoiled little brat.
Yeah.
And that's part of the reason now I think she has a cult leader. Yeah. So.
Her confrontation with the other leaders of the Guilty Remnant is like, you're not one of them anymore. Mm-mm.
They start to write, and she's like, just talk for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
And she's a different beast altogether.
Yeah, she literally has become the David Koresh, Jim Jones, Charlie Manson leader of a group.
I think Charlie Manson is probably the right way to look at that.
Without the killing part.
Well, but she does.
The stoning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just go out and stone him. Just stone that guy.
But there's that, you know, you have in the last episode where Nora and Mary are in the freak show.
Yeah.
Because Chris Eggleston has become a leader within that group.
Yeah.
And, you know, Mary's awake and she's walking her around and the lady, hey, that's not your baby.
Yeah.
You stole that baby. That's someone else's baby.
Right.
And then when she grabs her.
Oh, man.
And leaves it, like, I was like, well, one, they're not going to kill the baby.
Right.
But I totally thought something might happen to Nora.
Right.
Because she was getting stepped on. And then I'm sitting there watching. I'm like, what is it with this year, 2016, in HBO with people getting stomped on? Because that's what happened to Jon Snow in the Battle of the Bastards.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, man, like Angel gets, like, the palpitations when, like, we watch something and someone's, like, up really high. Or we watch Gravity and she just could not deal with that, right?
Right.
I get like that, like closed in thing. I'm like, I can't breathe.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, and
because I've been
cool
in a large crowd where that's happening.
That's
to me.
Happening.
Yeah.
And Tommy
saves
comes her. Out of nowhere and saves her and gets her into the trailer. Mm-hmm. But you didn't say who was in the trailer beforehand.
Well, because I didn't get to that part
yet. Right.
I purposely skipped that because I'm going to close with that. So I'm going to jump back to Kevin.
Yeah.
Because he and Patty have it out.
Oh, yeah.
And he dies.
The reason the whole thing where he goes to Stephen Williams and we find out he went and seen him before. Mm-hmm. And that's where the whole thing with him being in the water and, you know, having a cinder block tied to his leg is that Stephen Williams told him to confront your adversary. You have to die and go on to their plane.
Right.
And that. So this time when he goes back, because he has to do it, Stephen Williams poisons him. Mm-hmm. But he told him, he says, you're going to need a guide when you're there. So he kills him.
Well, he poisons him, but he tells him, hey, I have this epinephrine pen.
Right.
I will bring you back.
Right.
But then
he just drains it out on the floor and pulls a gun out and blows his head out.
Mm-hmm.
And then the grandson comes in
and
drags
Kevin off,
yeah.
Which, you know, that ends. And then we get probably my favorite episode of the entire series.
Yeah.
Is when Kevin, the first time Kevin.
Secret agent Kevin.
World renowned assassin Kevin.
Yeah.
You have a bunch of characters come back from season one. The Guilty Remnant is now like in this place.
Yeah.
They are a political party.
Right.
Patty is running for president.
Yeah.
And we find out that that Patty is not Patty.
Right.
And we find out, well, when he first gets there, he sees a little girl drowning. He goes and rescues her.
Right.
And this is a huge spoiler. And we find out the little girl is Patty.
Well, right. The dad, you think the dad comes up and like yells at her and he's like, hey, take it easy. Yeah. And then later on, you run into the dad again. And then by the end of the episode, after he's killed Patty and her followers, you know, who he thinks Patty, when she tells him, I'm not Patty.
Yeah.
And that he realizes that the guy that's been the dad the whole time is not the dad. It's Patty's husband.
Right.
And him, he and him have a discussion and then he kills him.
Yeah. Well,
and I'm like, all right,
way to go, Kevin. I love when he takes her to the well.
Yeah.
And she's like, you're not going to blah, blah, blah. And he just goes all
She's like,
he goes Jamie Lannister on her and just pushes her.
It literally is like at the end, she's like, well, do you want me to jump in? Do you want to push me in? What are you going to do? And she keeps talking and you just see, like, it's literally like you have to be just watching. And he goes, bloop.
Yeah. And I actually rewound it to make sure I saw it right.
Yeah. It's literally like he just stands there for a minute and you're like, you're sitting there and you're like, well,
and then all of a sudden you hear this voice
and you're like, here, Kevin. And he looks down and there's Patty in the well and he jumps in to like save her at first. And then she starts telling a story about how she was on Jeopardy and how she won on Jeopardy.
She needed $50,000 to get away from her husband.
Yeah.
And she won 65.
Yeah.
And then it didn't, you know,
didn't do anything with it. And then he drowns her.
Yeah.
And that's the end of Patty.
For now.
Oh, I think it's the end of Patty.
Yeah, I think so too. But
I think that was the whole thing is like literally he drowns Patty and he wakes up.
Mm-hmm.
He's back from the dead, but he's buried.
And
he comes out of the dirt and the kid comes around the corner and he's like, holy shit.
Yeah. And like, that's where the episode ends. Yeah. Like, it's like, man, these episodes ended on such good notes where it's like I can't. I don't know if I'm capable of waiting week over week to watch this show in season three. I might wait
until
the end.
So is this a weekly then?
Yeah.
Okay.
I might wait until the end. It's only 10 episodes, right?
Yeah.
Or what I think I'll do is I'll watch and then I'll watch it again and then I'll watch it again and again. You know, and just kind of to keep going depending on how good season three is. But yeah, no, he wakes up and, you know, all hell is starting to break loose.
Yeah. Which he's not aware of because
he's been
wait a minute, I was dead and I'm alive?
He's been gone for 8 or 9 hours. He was dead for like 8 hours.
Yeah.
So he gets back to town and it has come out that his handprint is the handprint that's on the car. John doesn't believe him that the girls disappeared. He thinks Kevin did
something.
Well,
you get the whole thing of where he sees what really happened to him.
So, because he woke back up.
Right.
You know,
like everything that had happened that he forgot, that he was blacking out with, he finally got to see it all because it all was revealed to him when he drowns Patty.
Yep.
And she told him, you know, she pulled tricks on him. Because she was his trickster. She was his adversary.
His Loki.
Yeah.
So John and Kevin have a thing and they end up going off to meet somewhere else. But this is where we find out the truth about the girls.
Yeah.
Why Kevin and John are off
at the dog pound
having their argument.
Yeah.
Evie and the two non-Evies. I don't know. I didn't even name them.
The Evies.
Yeah. The Evies. They come out of the trailer.
Well, right. We find out ahead of time because Tommy's at the Guilty Remnant farm and goes into the place where he's told not to go into. Mm-hmm. And there's a camper in there and he opens the door and there's standing Evie.
Yeah.
And it's literally don't say anything about us.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, well, what's happening? And you think there's a bomb that's going to be.
There was kind of a bomb. Well, it was a metaphorical
bomb.
But you
thought that they were going to kill people.
Well, yeah, I thought they were going to blow up the bridge and kill as many people as they could. But they come out and they're smoking and she holds up a sign that says 1 hour.
Yeah.
And so.
And then the clock starts on.
Yeah. And all of a sudden the people in the freak show start taking off their clothes and putting their whites on.
Yeah. There's like been like Hydra agents inside the whole
exactly,
group.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right. You know? So while this is happening, Kevin and John are in the dog pound. John pulls out a gun.
And kills him.
shoots and kills Kevin.
It's like, damn it, you just...
And so that's how that episode... Yeah. So this episode 9 ends with Kevin being killed again, and he slides out of the bathtub just like the first time.
Yeah.
He looks in the mirror and he goes, damn it!
Yeah.
And then...
tries to call his dad on the TV again. Yeah.
And so then he does things a little differently this mm-hmm. time. He puts his Mapleton...
Well, it was the whole thing where... And it literally, they gave him a choice in there
yeah.
of what to do. And at this point, he's back on course. Back yeah. on course as a chief, as yeah. a sheriff of, you know, it's like you're getting a preview of what's going to come
yeah.
to be. And he puts the uniform on and literally gets a phone call saying there's a disturbance in the lobby that he needs to come down and take care of.
We need a police officer to yeah. help. The security's being attacked.
So he goes down and... Literally, it's karaoke yeah. going on. And the guy who's singing karaoke, he ran into the last time he died
yep.
on the bridge going back to the well in Miracle.
Right.
And he tried to hang him. They had a discussion, and we didn't see what yeah. the discussion
last
was.
Last time I saw you, you tried to hang
yeah.
me. Yeah. Or tried to get me to hang myself.
This is yeah. where I'm. This is where my one major Perf. Thing I want to explain. What the hell is going on with Australia in this world? So this guy's from Australia. Yeah. He tells him, he goes, if you want to go back, you gotta do one thing. And he's like, well, what do I got to do? He goes, you got to sing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I'm not going to sing. He goes, I don't sing.
Sing?
He goes, well, if you don't, you're going to be here. Yeah. You may as well go ahead and drink the water now. Because if you drink the water in the afterlife, you forget everything. Because yeah. Stephen Williams does it.
Yeah.
And so finally, he gets up and he walks up and he spins the wheel. And... he has to sing a Simon and Garfunkel. And when he starts singing it, they start doing the clip show thing. And you're like, okay, this, I see where his story's going mm-hmm. now. And then all of a sudden, and this is one where I was like screaming, yes, yes. Cause he literally, it goes white
mm-hmm.
and he pops up. And he's got a giant hole in him, and he's blood all over the place.
And he turns around, and the bullet had gone through him.
Yeah.
And it's laying on the floor.
But the thing fully formed. I was like, the dog. The dog sitting yeah. there waiting for him. His dog that he had, you know,
that he rehabilitated.
Is just sitting there, like, waiting for him to come back. Like, he knew he was coming back. And I'm like, this is amazing. And then you walk outside and
all
it's
hell is
literally
loose.
Apocalypse.
Yeah. It's the guilty remnant have decided that they,
well, they let everybody
they want
into
to
the
let
town.
Everyone in and they take it over and Miracle is no longer special.
Yeah. So he runs into Meg and he's bleeding out still, but he's not dying.
Right.
And I'm like, this dude's not going to die ever. No, now ever. He knows
he's
the
immortal.
Tricks now. Yeah. It's like, so, he goes to the hospital that's in
the
town,
urgent care.
The urgent
yeah.
care. It's pretty much the hospital.
Well, it's her
Miracle.
It's her urgent care.
Yeah. Yeah. And he starts like fixing himself. And John walks in and he's like, what?
Didn't I kill you?
He's like, you were dead. And he's like, yeah, I was. It's pretty much like the conversation yep. just ends at that. Yeah. And John's like,
I was. Didn't take.
Well, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's pretty much you're like, okay, he's about to be the sheriff again.
Yeah.
And that because the town's gone.
And so they go out and the town is overrun. Yeah. And that's where the season ends.
Yep. He goes back home. They go back yeah. to their houses because mm-hmm. John hasn't found his wife or son.
Yeah, Nora.
So they walk up to the houses and Kevin's like, you know, tells him, he's like, well, what if they're not home? And Kevin literally says, if they're not home, you come over to my house.
Yeah.
And that because Kevin singing that song.
Mm-hmm.
Realizes
understands.
That family is what it's all about. Yep. And he walks into the house and literally his ex-wife's there, his what
adopted
I call wife's
son.
There, his yeah. adopted child.
Both his adopted children.
Both his adopted children, his daughter
yeah.
are all there. And it's like, at that point, you're like, yeah, it's all about the family.
Mm-hmm.
And and it's like, okay, we'll see where it goes from here.
And you know that they're going to be okay because they have each other.
Right,
so,
yeah.
Yeah. All right. Wow, we're yep. at an hour and 34 minutes right now. We haven't done a long one in a while, so
yeah.
You're welcome.
That's what happens when you talk about a TV series.
Oh, God, it's so good, though. It is so good. I think I bothered you for the entire week you were watching it. Did you finish yet? Did you
finish
yet?
Yeah, because
yet?
I stopped. I stopped to do something else for like, and had three episodes to go. Right.
And when we went and saw Rogue One, you hadn't finished, and I didn't ask you again, and I didn't even ask you if you finished because I assumed you did.
Yeah.
But man, I am one. I'm upset that I waited so long to get to this this show. Two, I am so happy to have something in the spring to watch on HBO.
I just like to think Westworld. Because if I wouldn't have put the app on because of Westworld.
You're welcome.
Like, yeah, whatever.
You're welcome.
No.
I offered to give you my password.
Yeah.
So
I just, well, it was one of those things
where you used my Hulu password for years.
I had a free month and I ran over the free month already. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to watch this show.
It's $15.
Well, it was literally one of those things where HBO is producing a lot of good shows.
Yeah.
And that, besides Westworld and Game of Thrones.
Oh, man. Like, I think I'm going to watch Boardwalk Empire next.
Okay.
Because I've never watched it.
I think that's on the regular Amazon app.
But or like, Generation Kill, one of those two.
Yeah.
So.
Generation Kill's
the Marines.
Yeah, that one has a lot of people in it where they're now somebody that they weren't somebody when they were on that.
Yep.
So.
So there's a bunch of people from The Wire on it. That's why I want to watch it. So because it's David Simon. Anyway.
All right.
Cool. On that note, we are the Infamous Podcast. This was episode 77, What's Streaming Now. The music that you hear at the beginning of this episode is Moose.
And at the end.
It's at the end too. Yeah. From bensounds.com. You can find us online at infamouspodcast.com. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Infamous Podcast. Johnny's online.
Yeah. Just click on the About Me and you can find where I am.
There you go. I'm Brian Tudor. You can find me at Brian Tudor on most social networks. We have new episodes every Friday.
Yeah.
And we have a Patreon page. Please go check it out. Anyway, any last words?
No, I'm good.
Awesome. Have a great day, night, evening, weekend, morning, afternoon, whenever you happen to be listening to this. Yep. And we will see you later.
Later.
Later.